button over there, Martha. Did you bring a snack? Did you bring a cheesesteak today?
I didn't bring a cheesesteak or a snack.
We'll get you something here if we need to. Yeah. All right, good morning, everybody. It is 9 a.m. We're with the county engineer talking secondary roads projects. Darren, huge year for you, man. We had staff hopping. We had some staff turnover, but it looks to me like you've got outstanding staff in place. Really pleased with what we got going on. But the next year and the next 5 years are going to be key to everything we're trying to do. Some aggressive projects that we're talking about getting in. You and I were talking just before we got started. Over the last 5 years, we've gotten pretty aggressive, but we've really taken the low-hanging fruit in a lot of cases. The bridges we've replaced, some of the roads that we've done, different projects that you've worked on. Now we're getting into the more complex items, and so we need to spend a little extra time, and frankly, it's probably going to cost us a little extra money to get those things going. Feels to me, Darren, like we've got really good momentum. I mean, the progress that we've made over the last few years, we got to find a way to sustain that and not get back to where I know you dealt with major frustrations, as everybody did, and nobody really to blame, but about 10 or 15 years ago, we were having trouble just maintaining our existing system. Now we've grown beyond that, but we can't let ourselves slide back into it. You want to make any comments before we get going with the budget?
Nope, that's all sound fairly accurate, so no changes.
Okay, good. So let's start on page 96. We're going to take a look at revenues. My first question is road use taxes. So we brought in $2.4 million so far this year. We're only expecting $4.1 million. Talk us through exactly how that comes in. Is there a lag? Does that $2.4 million represent roughly half of the year? And so where are we going to be?
Yeah, the way it comes in is fairly consistent with the totals, but the part that's not consistent is the Time 21 money. That's all kind of comes in at bigger chunks right around before and after July 1st, so it's hard to split it into quarters. So I'd rather focus on the totals that the DOT gives us for projections.
Okay, and these are the totals that DOT's given us, or we just plug them in as they give them to us?
Correct.
Now, we did receive more than DOT projected we would receive in FY17. Is that fairly standard, or what should we be watching for there? So we received 4.4, and they told us we were going to receive 4.1 in FY17.
We've seen that for the past few years. That's not always the case. That probably has something to do with probably the lower gas prices and more fuel sales. I don't know if that'll continue. Probably, I expect it to level off some here now.
Okay.
In general, they try to hit it as close as they can on their estimates, but the past few, we've come in, you know, a little higher than what they estimated, which is good.
Okay. Well, and that helps explain, I mean, there's multiple explanations and rationale, but it helps explain why our ending fund balance has grown to the level it's grown. With some of these.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with the fuel tax increase, too. But that happened kind of without notice, so we didn't have anything budgeted to spend it for the next year or two, so that built up, too.
Well, it looks like you've got a budget here that helps take care of that if you like the idea of the ending fund balance.
Definitely.
Mark, you raised your eyebrows.
The line before is the little line. So what asset might we sell for $2,000?
Mostly it's equipment we send over the DOT auction.
Okay.
Okay, good. So now I go down to donations, which is a kind of an awkward line for us to be talking about, something we've never talked about before. We brought in $75,000 in donations. That was a private donation for the trail, for the path that we built, Grand Gretton 530th up to Gilbert. There's another $75,000 that's supposed to be tagging along with this, but I'm not sure it would be classified as a donation. So Gilbert City and Gilbert School jointly committed to putting in $75,000. I expect that'll be local government. Do we reflect that in here, or would it be in just into the countywide local government thing?
It'd go in here.
It'd go in here, okay.
That's where the
local project was paid for.
Okay, so I believe in local government payments, if it's not reflected in there, we need to add 75 for this year, because I expect, I mean, it's been committed to, that it's coming. I'm gonna ask strongly that Gilbert and the school system live up to what they committed to. So can we add that as you do your reflections?
Do we want to wait to put it there until the money is actually here, or do you just want to do that now?
Well, this is just for Lisa to figure out where we're going to be.
Yeah, we're not counting on it for what? Okay,
well, okay. I'm talking now.
So you're expecting it still this year or 19, right?
No, the commitment was that they would do it in FY18.
Okay.
All right. Now, again, nobody's written a check, you know, but it's time, and I think I'm the guy, it's time for us to start pushing that issue.
They said they were
going to do it consistently, right? There's been no backtracking. I'm happy that the 75 from the private citizen has come in. We need to go get that other, just because that was the deal we made.
I have a question for information for me. It's trip permits, which is $3,500. It's a couple above, or actually, sorry, it's right below the local government payment. Right? So I'm just wondering, Derek, who actually pays, who is the people paying this? Would this be like the road contractors?
It's the trucking companies. These are heavy, big, oversized loads. We get a lot of wind farm stuff, and a lot of Manats trucking.
So people who know that they owe it and take care of business. Okay, thanks. I just kind of wondered. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So the final thing that I have to talk about there are the operating transfers, both from general and rural. We generally plug these in at 75%, which is where we have to be, 75% of maximum. I would suggest that we keep that number in our mind, but Lisa, I want to be able, when we pull this whole budget together and we see where everything is, any fund balances and everything else, that we think about increasing that number this year, simply because we are asking a lot out of secondary roads, and I want to maintain a healthy ending fund balance, if at all possible. I don't want to maintain an excessive ending fund balance. So I would suggest to us that we start at 75, but that's a conversation, Darren, that the three of us will have when we look at the budget holistically, what we can actually transfer. It'll be at least 75%. Okay, any other questions on revenues? All right, to the expenses. And Darren, let's just go down the list. So this is fairly complex. There's lots of moving parts. So let's just take this one a little differently than we do our others and go one line at a time, right through it. And if there's questions, we'll bring it up. Let's start with administration.
Okay. I'll give you a quick heads up, too. Unfortunately, there's two areas I had to do some adjustments. I don't like to do that after we submit it, but we'll get to the reasoning later. But equipment was adjusted. The total dollar amount stayed the same, but some of the equipment changed, and then construction changed as well. But we'll get to that. So let's start with said machines and fixtures.
Let's all work from the same page, so yep. You tell us what you're looking at, and we're going to work through from whatever you're looking at.
101 is in your description. All right. What that adds to the administration.
Perfect.
Okay, page 101. Not a lot in the administration category has changed. You'll see it differs from the three-year average, and that's mostly because we didn't spend all what we budgeted. So these pretty much reflect what we historically have budgeted. We just don't always spend it. So $11,000, that's mainly computer, hardware, software. Mm-hmm. Training and education stayed the same. We didn't spend much three-year average because of so many of our staff vacancies, but there wasn't people to train.
Right.
And with new people, that's only going to increase. Communication, that's our phone system. We take those numbers directly from IT. Publications, no change. Office supplies stays about the same every year. Same with postage. Our drug and alcohol testing, that varies. It's a random pool, so we never know for sure what that's going to cost. But it averages $1,800 a year. And the Ames Tribune, we did drop that number. That's something we're, you know, considering maybe just going electronic at some point here.
Oh, so this is the actual subscription to the paper.
Yeah.
So
overall administration stayed similar to last year's budget amount, actually dropped a little bit. Brings us to engineering. Consultants, that entails a lot of different things. We do soil borings for bridges, and those can cost $10,000 each. A lot of wetland and archaeology surveys, that type of stuff, and bridge designs when we have one. So we're estimating $45,000. If we somehow got 280th Street Bridge in here, this would dramatically increase, because that would probably be a consultant design bridge over the Skunk River. So for now, we'll leave that out, but we would have to increase that considerably.
How much would you estimate that increase to be?
They're usually 10% of the bridge costs.
But that's part of the 1.5 that you generally estimate that bridge will cost us.
Yeah.
So if we decide to go down the road, it'll be 1.5, and it'll fall in several different categories.
Roughly 100,000. I mean, if you take the 1.5.
Machines and fixtures, again, just similar. A lot of our AutoCAD licenses for drafting. No major changes in those categories. When we get down to bridge inspections, that's an every other year type situation. So this will be a year when we do bridge inspections. So that's a $48,000 cost that we just have every other year.
Are those the outside firm, though, but that's not the DOT itself?
No, it's WHKS in Ames.
Okay. Thank you.
Brings us to bridges and culverts. These are mainly the minor type repairs we do to bridges, mostly in-house now. That widely varies. It's mostly stuff that pops up that we aren't aware of, so it's a number that's hard to budget for, but that's why you see on the 3-year average for bridges that we didn't spend quite as much. Part of that is we used to bring a contractor in to do a lot of the wood piling repairs, and we're not doing that quite as much anymore because we've kind of reached the point where that doesn't benefit as much as it used to. The age of the rest of the bridge is so old, it doesn't make sense to put $30,000 in a bridge that isn't going to last too much longer.
Right.
So
we're doing
isolated bridges, pile repairs that don't cost nearly as much as the entire bridge.
And we talked just before we started to take this, before we gaveled the meeting in, that we've gotten aggressive the last 5 years at replacing bridges, but part of that is also we're having to repair less, because used to be some of these bridges that we would repair to level along, now we're going in and replacing, which impacts this number. And so I just believe we need to look at this as a holistic number and know that between culverts and bridges, it's going to be somewhere in that $100,000 range is our expectation.
We're looking pictures of this Tuesday. You were showing us the island, so we're
That's where these
costs. This number would go to do that.
Yeah, a lot of that cost is our labor, and that doesn't go into this category. This is just material, so you don't see that reflected here. But so we don't spend a lot of material costs when we do that.
Okay.
So it doesn't add up very quick, but we're doing a lot of work.
Thank you. That's a very helpful explanation. Because I'm still trying to figure out how do we scale up, but it's only material that.
Yeah. Okay. And if we did find a way to repair that 280th Street Bridge, we had an estimate originally of $80,000 to $90,000. That's where this would go. So that would bump us up if we found a repair option there. Takes us to road maintenance. Page 10. Well, yours is a little different than mine. Okay. We're still on page 102. Gravel, crushed rock, limestone. This item actually decreased, but that does not say we're putting less rock on the road. That means we're being more efficient with our hauling. This is where it's starting to get reflected.
We're doing more as opposed to contract?
Yeah, we're doing more, and we're hauling more, With one load, we're getting about twice the material on the road, so we're still doing the same miles. We're just spending less money.
So this reflects the savings provided by the additional trucks.
Just additional trucks, correct.
So, considering your trucks, what, 230,000?
Yeah.
Savings is half of one truck right there in a year. Just on a first basis.
You're never going to see me recommend spending or reducing the miles we rock every year. That's not something many county engineers do, because when the roads go bad, we get blamed for it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, you own that one.
Well, and it looks to me like
we found a pretty good
system for how much we're rocking every year, right? There's a couple components in that. There's the hauling. It's the fact that we're starting to haul more in-house. The other component that you touched on Tuesday that I just want to remind everybody is we're now in the process of really making the full changeover to limestone, which parts of the county have never seen limestone before. We're going to hear about that some. I think the fair reality is limestone actually makes a better road, but some people aren't going to see it that way when they've been just used to the crushed stone all the way through.
I think it'll be mostly positive, because I've had people request, when are we ever going to see white rock going inside the county? I think it should be mostly positive.
It takes a while to build a foundation, to get it down, to shape the road, and the dust is just, my family spends $600 a year for dust control.
Oh,
it's just what it is.
Yeah.
Part of being out on the prairie.
Patching and the Coleman's, this is more the crack sealing, just pavement maintenance, and we got to keep on top of that. We spent a lot of that money in the past few years on overlaying North Dakota, so we got a little behind on our pavement maintenance. This is catching back up to that, but we're still fairly similar to what we've been in the past. Shoulders, this is one of our items that we increased the most this year. We doubled it. We're having a very difficult time, and a lot of counties are. We talked about it at our conference. Our shoulders are just getting beat up. The bigger equipment rides out on those shoulders, and it's a big safety concern for me. You have that large drop-off, and you drop a tire off, you overcorrect, and it goes back. Those are the most severe accidents we have. So it's a high priority for me, so we're bumping that up.
Now, Darren, talk about that just a minute, because I recall that you did a couple roads where you tried a new angle on the edge of the pavement to try to help with that.
Sure.
How we found that?
Oh, that works great. We call it safety edge. So when you drop that tire off, there's an angle, so it doesn't actually catch your tire. You drive right back up, and it doesn't catch it.
Right.
A lot of our older pavements, you'll drop straight off, and it'll catch your tire.
You don't have a shoulder there. You're virtually trying to crawl up that
90-degree.
Yeah. So that's all the roads that we redo now, are we putting in that safety
edge? We are. We're only putting 3 inches on now, so it doesn't create a lot. If we do new roads, it'll be, 8 inches of a safety edge. So, it helps, but it's only 3 inches when we just do an overlay.
Okay. And that's the city of Ames to Lincoln Way, Old 30. Shouldering
right now
here since
they
descended, so they're out.
Sure.
To that end, too.
Erosion control, that's pretty similar. Driveway culvert stays the same. County drain tile, we pretty much kept the numbers the same. We're kind of seeing a decrease in what we're spending on some of that, mainly because we're not getting the big flood events like we did 5 years ago. But you never know, that can pop up again. Dust control, that's what we put down for construction projects, for detours, and we don't pay for dust control on private spots. Training education, that's our in-house training. No big changes there. Landfill fees, that hasn't changed. It's just that we had somewhat of a decrease of, and we do stockpile tires, and we don't trade them all in 1 year. Sometimes we skip a year, so you don't see the big cost every year. Yeah, we have a bin, and this past year it hasn't quite filled up as it has in the past, but that's something we're picking up every month.
People find them more shameful.
I think it's, let's go find Markley's house and let's dump it.
I think it's somebody. it's just you grow up with it. It's just I'm just shocked what you see dumped out in the ditches, and it's because of some rationale. I guarantee it.
Somebody that lives out in the county doesn't do that. Somebody in the city, in town, does that.
I do think that because in the municipal electricity, I mean, there's that monthly flyer, and I think they've done a good job of trying to let people know when the free dump days are to bring the water.
Yeah, then they have to wait in line. They don't want to wait in line.
Well, but I just want to say that I think Ames does a good job. Here to some other.
Darren, to his credit, we had an issue out by me that unfortunately the farmers in that area had my number and got right on it, and they went out and handled it in a very timely manner. In fact, it was just, it's galling to the sense of just like they, you know, they live a life that's such that takes care of what is theirs, wouldn't do that to somebody else, but then somebody else doesn't see it that way and puts their disposables right in their front drive.
Well, you know, you just hit on one of the beauties of our entire secondary road department is you compare, if you talk to other supervisors, they get a lot of complaints about timing of dealing with issues. Our guys are on it immediately. I mean, it doesn't mean that we always make everybody happy, because we're not gonna, but there is, at least since I've been here, there's not been a time that there's been a concern raised that we haven't had eyes on it quickly, trying to get it handled.
And with our newer work order system, things don't get forgotten either. They're always in our system. So things could have got forgotten in the past, but that doesn't happen anymore.
All right, snow and ice control.
Yeah, page 103, snow and ice control. Again, that's our typical budget amount, $100,000. That's a lot of our salt, sand materials.
You have a current number as to how much we expended this year? I mean,
so far this year, zero. That all comes really quickly towards the end of the winter, because we have a stockpile, especially from last year, was a low salt usage year, so we had a large stockpile. Everything was full to start the year.
Right.
And towards the end of the winter is when they start hauling it all in. So we haven't. The only thing we spent so far is on calcium chloride liquid that we fill our tanks with, so we're probably up to $4,000 or $5,000.
So we talked a couple times about expanding our salt storage capacity. Where are you on that right now?
I think it's the very last item is our buildings and grounds. We put maybe $30,000, $40,000 in that for maybe something at our Kelly shed.
But it's not something you're going to do immediately. You're going to kind of see how things are going.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Traffic control.
Traffic control, that doesn't change much. Similar over time. Lighting, that's mainly just paying our bills with our destination lights. I did have a call this morning. Somebody wants a light at our new Grant Avenue, West 190th intersection, so we might be adding a new light into that.
How do you make a determination on that? I've always wondered, because
E29 and S14, I had some time. Wow, back. What does your department do to determine whether that's a valid concern or a worthy expense?
For the most part, we've got them all lit that we felt needed to be lit. Sometimes there's one down by Maxwell that where 210 and S27 hit. We haven't ever done that one because the utilities would have. There's no utilities in the area that would cost so much to get it there.
Right.
So that one we've never done. But in general, most of our other major intersections have them.
All right. Well,
but we only have half that intersection. Half that intersection is Ames.
Correct. And they want it on the north side. I haven't looked at it yet, but the north side would be ours. I don't know.
Is it traffic determination? I mean, you know, how do you jump to the safety end? Because it's going to have a bike trail there. I mean, is that a part of your calculation? And as Rick just said, the city of Ames is probably going to have to be at the table on this one.
Really, all there's for is when you're driving it, it's more in the rural areas, so I have to drive that one at night to see if there's light around it already or not, because it's more just to show you how soon that intersection is coming up so you can slow down to make the turn.
Right. That's
really what it's for.
Okay.
But we have them out on most of our major intersections already, and the DOT does not do them, so we have to light, even if it was on 210 down there, we'd have to light it.
Thank you.
Pavement markings, we pretty much do the same thing every year on those, so that stays a similar cost. Guardrail, this has bumped up some. We have a couple bridge guardrails, mainly over the interstate bridges. that go over the interstate or the DOTs, but the guardrail is the county's. So there's a couple that are pretty bad shape up north that we need to do some total replacements on. That's why that number bumped up. Brings us to road clearing. That's just some brush maintenance and some seed costs. Most of our seed comes out of Joe's RVM budget, but we do some on our own when Joe gets behind, and when we're doing a lot of ditch cleaning work, so we do throw some seed out from time to time. That's what that's for. Down to equipment. This is where we made some changes. I am actually going to pass this sheet out, namely releases benefit.
With all the changes.
Did it come with a Snickers? Because I got surly yesterday.
I'm being surly.
He's quietly surly.
She's still my favorite. Even surly. Still my favorite. Yeah.
I see Andrew's here now, too, so he can explain a little why we had some equipment changes. The main reason was the truck industry changed. It's kind of doing a changeover now with the engine types, and all we can really get is the Cummins right now, correct? And we don't feel they stand up to salt as much as well as some of the other engine types, so we'd rather hold off till we see what the industry is going to do on that extra truck for the single axle. So we swapped that out with a new loader, which was also on our list, and it's at a similar cost. It'd be $20,000 less, but again, all these changes will add up to the same amount that we originally asked for, but there's quite a few changes here. So we added the loader in at $155,000. We bumped the pickup trucks up to $45,000 from $40,000, and then we'd like to add an excavator bucket for $15,000.
For the loader, the new loader?
That is actually for our excavator.
The
rubber tired excavators, yeah, with a thumb on it, correct? And
Go ahead.
Currently, what we use for brush removal, large trees and stuff, we have a large grapple attachment for excavator, but when it was originally purchased, I believe it was sized wrong. It's not a very safe piece of equipment to use. It's not very convenient. This bucket is actually a power grip type bucket that splits like a clamshell. It's properly sized for the machine. It would be more convenient for the operator and ultimately more efficient.
How hard is it to get one of these? I mean, is this a, you got to order it and it takes months and months to get it? Is it something Mark knows where I'm going? Can we get one of these within weeks, or is it months to get one of these?
It would probably be... I would guess a week to a month to get it in. The salesman's actually looking into getting it. It'd be a third-party purchase. We source it through probably CAP, which source it for us, and they work through HELAC to get it. Same way that we got the knuckle attachment for the excavator. But it's a standard piece of equipment. It's nothing. It's not specialized to the equipment. It's you order it, two pins attach it, two hydraulic hoses, and it's running.
Is there a reason, Darren, we wouldn't go ahead and get it this year?
I think we could, yeah.
I mean, if we need it, it helps us.
The other stuff takes too long to get.
100%.
The alignment could.
So I'm just suggesting that we go ahead and order that bucket sooner rather than later, and we get it handled yet in FY18, which means it would not need to go into our FY19 budget. Laura Smart, are you guys okay with that?
As long as Mrs. Markley thinks that's a good idea.
If it's easy to
discuss with your cat for a little
while. Yeah, I know her. It's Friday, and
she ate good breakfast. She's fine right now.
Yeah, she's fine. No, but that's an easy turnaround. That's probably on the shelf, just waiting for somebody to say, here's where it is.
Exactly.
It's going to take you 2 days to truck it here.
Yep.
You got it. Hook it up. You're running.
Yep. Okay.
I'm good with it, so I'm good with the loader. It makes perfect sense. If you don't like the engine that's in the single tandem truck, that
I'd like to wait,
that we'll hold off and see what we can get. Now, but our tandem trucks still have the equipment we want on them. We aren't making the same mistake there, are we? Well, or are we just desperate that we got
to
have one?
The tandem is going to have the same Cummins engine, but we're willing to accept one of them to get the updated tandem truck, because right now our oldest tandem is an 05.
It's pretty rough. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's keep close tabs. So I appreciate you guys' concerns. Let's keep close tabs on does this engine start to cause us some problems that we don't want.
The main concern with them has just been the control systems on the outside of the engine tend to not stand up to what we do very well. And the Cummins electronics is a little more difficult to deal with, so it's a little bit more difficult for us to maintain in-house. But it's still something we can work with.
Can you give me 1 minute on why that's the only option we have right now?
Which one with the cat motor versus the Cummins, or is that just from the factory?
Caterpillar, for one, no longer builds the highway diesel. When everything went Tier 4 with the new emission standards, they just got out of it. International is
rapidly.
Who we typically deal with. They're not building a mid-range diesel currently because there's some industry ownership upheaval going on. Currently, they're owned 20% by Volkswagen, and that percentage is going to increase drastically. So they expect new technology to be coming in from Europe, and they just quit development on mid-range diesel engines. So they're expecting to start utilizing MAN and staying at diesels from overseas pretty soon. But in the interim, instead of spending time and money on research and development, they just stopped.
Okay, and the single that we would be replacing this year, we feel decent that we can get another year out of?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a good story. I get that. It is a year. But I agree that I think a single, I knew we were saying last week, is you only got one or two. You've been replacing.
We're down to four now.
Okay.
You used to have a pretty good fleet of them.
The new cams and the pups, you've been dropping your singles.
Yeah.
Going by the wayside.
But we're where we need to be with singles, right? We're not, we've got the fleet we want now. Now it's a matter of replacing.
Four is what we kind of decided we're going to stop there. Yeah.
Okay.
And I just want to talk about this when we go to CIP, and I know that we talked about it when the draft was presented, but the 650 that's in there for the motor grader is actually in committed funds. So we're showing to spend those because the motor grader is up this year, so we're going to have to determine how that's going to play out. But in order to move those out, we need to put them in his budget. So that's why
right.
That goes into the So, and we got the note, you know, the $260,000 is from the CIP, and $230,000 is from our general.
No.
$650,000 is from the Secondary Roads Fund, which is where the $661,000 is sitting. From there, we put $661,000 away when we purchased, when we did this lease.
Okay. Right.
So that $600,000 is sitting in the Secondary Roads Fund right now is committed. It will not be committed at the end of FY19 because we will be spending it. Then there's also $260,000 in local option sales tax, general county betterment, to pay for a lease payment.
Which we won't have.
We probably won't have, yeah.
Okay. But then we're going to have to talk about how we start to rebuild that fund for the next time. So this is the interesting one. We talked about this a couple times, but it's important that we keep talking about it. So when the decision was made to go to the lease, it was a great deal for the first 5 years. It was the right way for the county to go. It helped us in a lot of different ways. It was less costly. But the proof in the pudding is where we end up on that second lease and how we figure out how to fund the third lease another 5 years down the road. And we don't have those answers yet. It's something where it's February of next year that all of that comes up. So we're going to be working through the process. We know that we got $660,000 put away to help us acquire, get into the new lease. We know that we got some residual value in the 8 to 10 motor graders that we're going to turn back over because they're still under warranty. I mean, it's the kind of thing that counties around us are going to want to build their fleet with ours, so they're going to have some value in them. But we don't know at this point what all the numbers look like, and even more importantly than knowing what it looks like in FY19 is trying to figure out what it's going to look like in 2024 and how we're going to fund between now and then in order to be able to do that. That's the complexity that we're dealing with in all this.
And where that in our proposal when we did that originally, we're going to see a lot of savings in maintenance. That's hard to quantify and show you, but it's there. Unfortunately, the past couple of years, our trucks have cost so much in maintenance with our emission systems that we didn't see it as much, but that cost still would have been there, so it would have been probably twice as much for equipment maintenance. So we saved money.
We did.
The conversation talking about the motor graders, you had made reference on a prior presentation, and Rick, you talked to it too, where you were looking out at what we were going to turn back in on our lease graders, possibly purchasing one out of that. Is you were replacing what we got, or just determining whether the fact that we wanted to own any, and that with having test drove these things for the last 4 to 5 years, you might pick one of those. Where would those dollars be coming out of?
Well, we own two right now.
Yep,
right.
We own two. Right.
So we got 12 in our fleet, 10 are leased, 2 we own. The way I'm seeing this at this point, when there's been no decision made, it's still part of the conversation that we got to have over the next 13 months. The way I'm seeing this is we would cherry pick the best two, whatever you guys determine is the best two of the 10 that are on lease.
Right.
We would hold those back to replace the two that we currently own, which aren't going to have the same value as the other 8 that are coming off lease. But nevertheless, we would trade those in as part of the new 10 that we would assume, right? And that's the way I think that's the way we've talked about this is going to work, but no decisions have been made finally about how it's going to work, and that's going to be part of the interesting conversation over the next eight going to 13 months.
Well, I knew that was part of this that we weren't talking about, that as we have the chance to figure out which ones we would want and which ones we would want to return.
I would bet Andrew's already got an idea on which two we would take.
I've already talked to the salesman about the possibility and options. He's going to be putting some stuff together for us just for information.
Excellent. Thank you. That answers my question.
And the 660 that is already committed, that's enough then to cover what we're going to owe on the next lease payment?
That's what the first lease cost us, so we just assumed it'd be,
So if you think about it in terms of like an auto lease, right? If somebody goes and leases a car, you got the monthly lease payment that you make, which we do it annually. But you also have the initial upfront cost, if you will.
Yes.
And so what we were told when we went into this original 5-year lease is coming out of it was reasonable to expect that we would need another $650, $660. In order to get into that new lease. So it may be different than that.
We may find out it's more than that.
We may find out it's less than that as we go. But that's what we got put away. We also, while it's not built into this budget, remember, we got the 2.6. So the 660, because I think it's just over 660.
661.
Okay. The 660 is sitting there. But we've also been budgeting 260 every year to make the payment in addition, and we're not talking about budgeting that this year. Right?
I put it in the budget.
It's not in our budget.
It's not in their budget.
But you put it in ours.
We just note on here like we do every year. It used to just say the local office sales tax, but that's not an option. We'll have to figure out.
What I'm going to suggest is, and this is a conversation for us to get to when we get to loss, I'm going to suggest that we continue to budget the 260, even if we don't have to spend it this year, that would be our initial contribution to this fund that we're going to have to worry about in 2024 when it comes time to make a changeover.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That actually did help me build a little list in my mind.
Okay. This might help a little where that 660 came from, too. We traded in our existing fleet, and they gave us $1.3 million.
Okay.
We cut that in half. Said we'll apply half of that here, and 660 will hold on. So that's where the 660 came from.
Okay.
Half of
it. It's what it cost us to buy into the original lease.
Yeah.
That's how Paul
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's kind of moving in. There's components to it, and stay up on it.
I remember the first time Darren and I had a conversation about the possibility, because nobody was leasing this stuff when we started talking about it, right?
City of Ames, we went and met with them to see their staff, how they did it, and that's where we got onto it.
I would say it's a success, and I would we expect this to continue, because I've seen no reason to change it.
Anything else on equipment?
Climate 1050.
We were short $20,000, but we added in $20,000 under another category under equipment operations down below. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. You took the $15,000 out.
Yep. For the, took the $35,000 out of the 2019 budget, which is the $20,000 that you originally took out, plus another $15,000 for the bucket. I moved that $15,000 to FY18. Mm-hmm. I think you've already spent $586,000, so I'm assuming you're going to need $15,000 in there to pay for this.
Right, so we're taking that one to $601,000.
Correct.
Right, we're taking 18 to 601,000, but we're taking requested for 19 from 1,065,000 down to 1,050,000. So that 15 is just sliding over.
Yep. I forgot to note on the truck why we dropped it from 220 to 200. That's a deal where we actually have an existing box on the back that we're going to use that we originally didn't plan for. So we estimate that to be about $20,000 box. So
we've talked about that before, as I recall. This box is in good enough shape. I mean, they don't get too beat up.
What we did is we had to switch some of our puffs. We took it off a puff that was still fairly new when we switched it to the stainless steel.
Mm-hmm. The original puff trailer we bought had a steel body on it.
Okay.
And then we started purchasing aluminum body truck and puff. So to get that pup trailer on par with the newer ones, we purchased an aluminum body and put it on that pup trailer. So that left us a three-year-old steel body sitting on the ground.
Perfect. Okay. Good.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That takes us to equipment operations. That includes a lot of things. I've got a spreadsheet that's much more detailed than what you have. It's fuel, oil, tires. So we don't get into that much detail, but it stays fairly similar every year.
Are you going to have any additional expenses by opening up two new sheds in that respect?
That will come out later. We have each shed has its own annual cost we have, so those two sheds will increase some. We're not sure what that will be.
To get them.
Utilities. And we have two categories, utility category for each shed, and then just miscellaneous items inside the shed. And that'll increase the first year or two, too. So that takes us to equipment operations. We talked about 768 radio lease. That's our similar lease payment. That may change in the future. But
how many radios do we have?
I think it's 80 or 90.
Yeah, including the handhelds.
So I think we better, and I'm not talking about for the FY19 budget, but we better start keeping in our mind this changeover in the radio system, because I'm going to assume we're going to want you guys to be on the same backbone. When we put in the new system for E911, we're going to want you guys on that same backbone. But in order to do that, it's going to mean all new radio equipment. And so at purchase, we're looking at $2,500 to $6,000 per radio is what we're hearing. Now, I don't know what kind of lease deals are going to be out there. I don't know what's going to be all included. I think it's an FY20 conversation, not an FY19, but we need to start thinking through exactly how all that's going to happen.
Okay. Safety program costs, that stays consistent. Flood warning system, that's something we reimburse City of Ames on. It's a countywide system of stream gauges. Brings us to sheet 104 and tools and materials. This is where we added in that $20,000 back into the budget that we took out of equipment, and this is for a tire machine. It's how we change our tires. That's the first place our safety guys go when they come and audit us. They look, where's the tire machine? Because it seems to be the most dangerous piece of equipment. Ours is 30 to 40 years old, we estimate. We really don't even know the age of it.
Well, I know that Roger Tendel started right around 78, and it was here before him.
Yeah. It's time to replace it, and we're having issues getting parts.
You sure we can't get one more year? No, I'm
just... We did just manufacture some new parts for it.
So that's $20,000 we added into the our original $15,500 asking. So that brings that up to $35,500 for a total asking tools and materials. What's that?
About 37 for that total.
Oh, I showed 37 on that sheet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Welding supplies, that stays consistent. Buildings and drainage districts. This is where we added some in on the building side of things for a possible salt shed. Mm-hmm. We're looking at pouring a concrete pad ourselves with our own crew, so that'll just be concrete cost. And then Manats, they make these big concrete blocks like the city of Nevada has. We're going to slowly build that with the blocks when they make them. They don't have them all in stock at once. They slowly make them throughout the year. And then we're going to probably look at putting a hoop on top of it.
Yeah.
Then
how many in storage do you what we got or bigger?
Oh, no, it'll be much smaller than what we've got. We haven't really put a tonnage to it yet. We kind of need to see when the existing building's done what kind of area we have left.
Okay.
Where they put, we've got to put a propane tank
just
out.
Just a loose ballpark, we might have 50 tons sit there.
Okay. Well, if we get lucky, is to carry it over, and the fact that you're storing it right, it will.
So for me, and I just want to make sure I underscore this, because generally I come down against the we might want to do this. You know, we don't have a specific plan yet, but this is something that once we get in, I view this one differently. Here's what I believe. Once we get into the Kelly and Roland shed, we're going to find some things that we need to do to maximize efficiency. It may be $50,000 for salt storage. It may be $50,000 for something else that you guys find logistically we're dealing with in that changeover. And so I think it's wise to go ahead and plug these dollars in and say to these guys, once you get into your operational, figure out how that can best be used. And if it's salt storage, great. And if it's something else, it's that.
Well, if you don't take that approach, you're going to keep the travel time, the cost of moving that truck, the expense of moving that truck to come to a central location.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay for it down. At some point, you will hit a crossover.
I am kind of still working through in my mind to try and figure out where you are drawing the line and where we go ahead and include a possibility in the budget and where we don't.
Right.
So I'm working through.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
figure out
the explanation I give you for where, that's why I wanted to speak to it, because generally people sitting there will say to us, yeah, so I want to plug this into the budget because we might have an intern or we might have a need for this. And my general reaction is, no, let's don't plug it in, because if it ends up that you need it, then let's talk about it at that time and we'll plug it in. This one to me is different for us because I see the need. We're going to spend money moving over to these new ships. We just are. And
Rick,
so,
I'll put in mind you, we have another part that we have to do. We left some of the insides of the building out, the bathroom walls and stuff, what we're going to do with our own crews, and we knew that was coming. So that's some of this money, too. We knew that was coming.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to make sure, Lawrence, that you're really able to get your hands around, at least from my perspective, why I view this one different. Okay.
Thank you.
And then the one above that, drainage districts and buildings, that's the district work that the county has to pay for because we own the road right away, so we get assessed some of those fees. That's usually for the bigger projects that happen. We get billed, so we're estimating 15 for that. If DD5 happens, we don't.
Yeah.
A lot of that would be City of Ames roads now. But
yeah. Okay. Questions? Well, the numbers, and then we're going to start talking about, so then we're going to get into the roadway construction.
So my previous question on the new facilities, that's where that $50,000 placeholder is for the expenses of getting down.
Yeah.
Operational.
Yep, and it's mainly just some building work if we want to build. Well, the bathroom's got to happen. They're roughing in the bathrooms. We're finishing those, and then if we want to build any type of office space, and we got a lot of stuff from facilities when they cleaned out the Ames human resources building downstairs. We got a lot of lockers and all kinds of stuff we stockpiled, so we got a lot of stuff to put in there for free, hopefully already.
Alright. Roadway construction. Let's start talking about this.
Couple of changes to this since our original submittal, and I'll explain why. first one doesn't affect our budget asking, but it changes the first one, Sand Hill Trail Bridge. It has a star by it. That means it's carried over from the previous year. Doesn't appear we're going to be successful in purchasing the right-of-way, so that's actually going to get moved back a year. So it won't be a carryover project, but it'll still stay in the budget. The 110 and 440, it'll just be an actual budget 2019 year project.
So we assume we're going to have the ability to get the right way, we just aren't getting it now? Or what did you just say there?
Okay, our next step is we're going to start out by going and getting appraisals, professionally appraised. And then at that point, I'm going to have to probably come to the board and say, hey, do you want to use the condemnation process on this or not? Because that might be the only way we get through this. We're going to... No, I don't.
You don't want to, but that might be your only path.
That may be our only path. I was thinking if there's any way we could readjust, but that project is so dependent on the floodplain, and I don't think there's any adjusting. The guardrail is what's causing this extra right-of-way to be needed, and that's required by, it's a federal aid project. There's no way to adjust that, so I don't see
this. That we may want to have a half step between the appraisal and you coming to the board, and in my mind that half step is we get the appraisal, and you and others go have one more visit with the landowner. I would suggest that we ask the assistant assessor, who seems to be quoted in these conversations, to go along on that visit, and we make one more attempt at trying to get to resolution.
My other question with that same step is that do you feel that I should maybe reach out to her again? This is the person who checked me, and that's what I'm asking. Okay, you know, or do you feel that's going to complicate it further?
So I'll give my perspective first, and then Darren, you weigh in however you want. Anytime a constituent reaches out to one of us, we get involved, and hopefully, more times than not, we're handing off to the appropriate staff member and go. Since this is a confidential conversation, and since this appears for us to be moving I'm saying this in quotation marks, but moving toward an adversarial kind of relationship between the board and this landowner, because that's what condemnation is, right? It's a taking.
Right, we're taking.
I would encourage you and us to stay as far removed from this as we possibly can. I think it's completely reasonable. So the next step that I think is exactly right is go get the professional third-party appraisal done. Let's see what that number looks like. Let them go have one more conversation and see where that is. As I understand, Deb, you'd be part of that conversation.
Yeah, that would be very necessary.
I would ask the three of us this does not look like it's going to move to an easy conclusion. Since we're going to be the arbiters, all said and done, I'd ask all three of us to kind of stay in arms length.
Well, my thought here is if Cindy, the assistant assessor, okay, also to have that discussion. One of the things that became my feeling, to me, apparent to me, is that there was a feeling of discomfort on this property owner's part, having so many males in the room without a female counter. Deb, that was why it's so essential that Deb, I think, be there. It's a trust issue, and it was conveyed specifically to me. It's not even a feeling, it's a discomfort level of having just so many males and so that was one reason I suggested. I hear what you're saying, Rick, and I hear that yes, it's gonna come down that way. So what now thinking about involving another male, okay, in this, where do you think, Darren, that might take it, Deb, your assessment of what could our assistant assessor add to this conversation? Or would it have actually activate some feelings again of being from her perspective?
Yeah, that might be a good point. I might just really get a really good update from the assessor and probably not have him participate. Just make sure we're on the same page before we go back and talk so we don't have so many people in the room at the same time.
Okay.
So
that's maybe probably. Include them in conference call or something. Okay. What should be listed?
We could do that.
Something has been said that is staying in this constituent's mind and how they are understanding a calculation. And after sitting in on the more recent meeting, I sense that maybe it's only the assistant assessor who can kind of help put that is okay, thank you.
Apparently what the landowner believes they heard from the assistant assessor is different than what the assistant assessor thinks they said. And so the only reason to include the assistant assessor is, especially if there's a trust issue, is you get it right from the horse's mouth that there was confusion. The other thing that I, just semantically, Loris, we won't be sending the assistant assessor anywhere. He doesn't work for us. Assistant assessor works, assessor work for the conference board. We would be asking the assistant assessor to help us clarify the situation. With the, so there's only one goal. The goal is that we reach amicable resolution
right.
with this landowner.
Right.
That's the only goal. And so however we need to do that, or however we need to give ourselves the best opportunity to do that, and I think clarity is the first step, we should do that. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I like the idea of maybe a telephone conversation instead, okay? And I appreciate the latest update to know who else has been involved in this as we've gone forward. So, thank you.
So, how timeline this discussion as far as getting a third-party evaluation turnaround discussion with the landowner?
Sure.
You're asking to pull this out of the coming fiscal, but yeah. Give you a timeline of what we just discussed.
We're talking months out probably at this point. It's hard to find appraisals that do road projects. We had to go to Cedar Rapids to find one last. We did one for 600. So we're talking probably a month or two for them to get the appraisal done, and then we have to go get a review appraised. So it's a long process. So we're talking a couple months before we even have the appraisal at hand. At this point, we're probably looking at a November, December letting for the bridge, which should bring the cost down for the bridge, so that'll help. And then they might actually get it built in the spring instead of the fall, so the project itself will probably only be delayed 6 months from what it would have been.
Well, with any building project or any paving project, by delaying it, you'll increase the cost.
Yeah, over time, you'll increase the cost that way, correct.
But I'm still hearing that there's a chance that we could get this built in FY19. Right? There's still a chance that we could get it built spring
in FY19.
FY19, which is why I question whether we go ahead and pull it out at this point. So we're still moving through the process. That if we move through the process, it's reasonable to think that we could let it in November and get it built spring of 19.
And I'm not pulling it out. I'm just taking the star off of it.
Okay.
So it's no longer a carryover. It's actually budgeted in FY19.
Right. Okay.
But it was budgeted in 18 also.
Correct. Technically, it's carrying over, but it's going to carry over 2 years.
Yeah, it's just going to keep carrying over.
Take it out of 18.
So we need to, and we'll finish this conversation and we'll talk about re-estimation.
Right.
Now I want to add, I think Darren and Tyler Sparks both did their very best in trying to help clarify and lay out the process, and it's just one of those challenges that we work on. And so in the process usually is that after I turned it over to you guys, right, okay, and you handled it, but it sounds like Rick's been aware of it too, because the last thing I got was an email type of update about this, there's going to be a conversation, or Richard, you've not talked to this.
Oh, no.
Okay, got it. All right.
Information I've got has come from staff, just giving me an update on what's been happening.
Yeah.
That's it.
Updated construction seat.
Oh, thank you.
Really, the only change to it was project number 7. That one we did take out of the budget. And that was because of two things. Federal fiscal constraint rules. You're going to see both in this, and then we get to our 5-year program discussions. There's never been more unknowns right now with our funding streams with the federal aid swap. This federal fiscal constraint issue was new last year, and that's more or less controlling how much we can borrow ahead in these funds that we have. And they're really tightening that up, so we aren't able to borrow ahead as much as I thought we were going to. And the funding swap is going to happen sooner than I thought. That's going to take effect FY18 or calendar 18 in the fall. And that will allow us to spend 100% of those funds on bridge replacements. We're number 7 before. I had budgeted $120,000 in local dollars and $40,000 or $80,000 in the bridge funds. We won't need those local dollars anymore, so that's another reason to delay it. We'll use all the special money. Local dollars are always harder for us to come up with, so we'll try to protect those whenever we can. So those are the two reasons for delaying that, and we'll get into those more in the five-year program discussion. But total, it drops our total asking from $3.1 million down to $2.5 million, takes the $600,000 out.
And I know that this is not the time to discuss the entire 5 year going forward. Just wanted to know, you didn't feel that there was a substitute project we could fit in for 2019?
No, not that we would have ready. And that was mainly federal aid bridge funds. So
okay.
With the fiscal constraint issue, we can't replace it with anything else anyway.
All right, so I've got a different number, right? So everything starred, this is the first five projects, have all been in a previous budget. Mostly 18 budget, but some of them, one of them, the 17 budget.
Correct.
Right? But they've all been, so DOT, everything they've seen from us, we've had these projects in our program. We've shown the dollars. So the dollars are sitting there, and then it's part of our carryover every year. So I come up at $1,075,000 from those five star projects. I just want to know where you and I are differing on numbers, because you got it at 630. Somebody check my math to see where I am.
630.
You took
1 through 5.
Anything asterisk, yeah.
Anything asterisk has already been budgeted, right? So it becomes part of our carryover, which is why we show a, whatever, 80% in the fund balance.
Right.
A million sets. So of the 2.5 million, $1,075,000 of it is money that has already been budgeted in a previous year. So I take the $1,075,000 off the 2.5 million, and it looks to me like what we're talking about putting in this year, new dollars, is what, $1,425,000.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure that I'm seeing this correctly, and that we're plugging in the right numbers, because with your requirements to report to DOT, we'd be tracking this thing down to the penny exactly how we're accounting for all this.
That probably get Lisa involved in this a little bit. Last year we did that. We tried to pull as much of the carryover money out as we could. Two concerns with that. One, we had a situation at the beginning of the year where we didn't necessarily have enough money either to pay the contractors. So I want to make sure we don't fall into that again. And that's more of a Lisa issue on how you manage the money, so you might have some comments on that. And the other issue is I would prefer if we budget what our true cost would be. I have to do the same number in both years, what I prefer to do, because if I don't, I'm going to have to amend the next year, because more than likely these projects fall over July 1st. And when I do a budget amendment for the DOT budget, they make me justify why I did that, and that they stress to me. This past year, they returned our budget 3 times and said, we need more explanation. And that was mainly due to the buildings, and we had a big change there. But they stress, you have to, by code, have to have an unforeseen reason why you didn't budget this money. So that's what I struggle with them. I just feel like at some point they're going to come and say, that's not an unforeseen reason. You didn't budget the money that you thought was going to be there.
Right, but we have budgeted the money. So if we're talking, so I get it with the buildings, and I get the concern with the buildings. That was really convoluted. But if we budget to replace a bridge, so we budget $100,000 to replace a bridge, and because we truly expect that we're going to get it done, right? And then we don't get it done by
July 1st.
Yep.
That is an unforeseen circumstance that it's reasonable to amend our budget and say, okay, we did everything we could do to get this done. It didn't get done, right? We're working at the whims of the contractor. We got weather. We got all kinds of different things. That's a reasonable explanation for why you would amend the budget. And what frustrated me a couple of years ago with all this is the way we were doing things, budgeting things, repeated. Right, we want to throw it in the budget year after year after year, and all of a sudden, a $100,000 bridge starts looking like a $300,000 bridge when you look at our budget, because we budgeted for it in this year, and then we budgeted for it in the next year, and then we budgeted, and so you could not look at our budget and say, well, here's what you're truly spending, or here's what you're truly planning to spend, and that's the frustration that I have on my end. And I would be willing to, well, I've had the conversation with the state auditor about what's an appropriate way to do this. Okay. And I believe that DOT, well, I believe that a reasonable explanation is the reason we're amending our budget is because we didn't get this project done in that fiscal year, and now we're doing it in this. And it's as simple as that for those kind of things. Now, I'm with you on other issues, right?
This is the first that I am hearing of any of this, and so I'm going to ask that we back up.
Sure.
Right.
It's a difficult issue to understand. Though.
Okay, but I think when I hear the statement, okay, or just hear that there was some question at one point about us having money to pay contractors, I get very concerned.
So maybe I just heard that. You did not mishear it, but what he was saying was that there wasn't enough money in the budget. So, you have to budget dollars to spend them.
Right.
Okay? He had plenty of money sitting in his fund.
Uh-huh.
But because of the... We didn't budget for the stuff again. Come spring, or come July, when the new budget that you guys had certified last year went into place...
And we hadn't done the amendment yet
to
add it in.
To carry those funds forward.
Right, to budget them forward. Yes.
Okay.
And that's where I would prefer just have the money there so we didn't have to amend, and then be clear with the DOT.
And it's also one of the things, it's kind of technical when it gets down to it, because overall he's got X number of dollars in his budget. Part of the construction part is a different service. So that whole service area has to have enough budgeted, and my concern, obviously, was the service area didn't have enough to carry it, so we had to wait.
Sure. Okay. And then coming back to your point, Graham, which I have heard is come up before.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to state it hadn't heard this. I get that part I had heard before. Okay. So, and your point is when we keep them shoving the same stuff in year after year, as you said, it looks like we've been paying $300,000 for that 100,000 project, and it kind of artificially inflates how much we're spending on roads. Is that what you're heading on that?
Yeah,
okay, just want to make sure that I was tracking.
So some boards, right, multiple boards in the state of Iowa, I would say overwhelming majority of the board of boards of supervisors in the state of Iowa view this process that we're in right now, this budgeting process, as a boss, they got to check because it's state law that by March 15th, you will certify a budget. And so they go through the process of checking the boxes so that they can say at the end, here's our budget, we've done what we had to do to meet state law. And 99 out of 99 counties, I think I can say that, meet state law. They file their budget when they're supposed to file the budget. Story County, about 8 years ago, adopted a philosophy that said our budget is more than just checking a box. It's more than just meeting state code. It is not only a fair representation to our citizens of what's actually going on in Story County,
It's our plan that we're going to operate from. It is showing us internally how we're going to work. And if you're going to do that, then you better have a really fair representation of what it is. And I would argue that that change in philosophy is the primary reason that we see Story County in such strong fiscal position over the last 4 or 5 years. So you worked here when we weren't in a strong fiscal position. You worked here when we borrowed $9 million to repay roads. You worked here when we truly didn't have money to give raises to our employees. You've seen all of that. And I think what you could attest to is, while there's, and Lisa would say this right up front, the way that the board is currently doing this, the way the previous board before this one and the way this one did it last year, creates a little more paperwork. There's no question about it. It makes us amend our budget almost as we start a fiscal year. I mean, it's almost a July 2nd kind of deal. Right. We almost dig in and go. But it's absolutely a fair representation of what Story County is planning to spend, and it creates the atmosphere where we don't say no to a $150,000 leak in the roof, not because we don't want to fix the leak, but because we don't have $150,000 anywhere to go fix the leak in the roof. And that's a real example for Story County.
Okay, now let's go back to Darren. All right, Darren, because what I heard from you was that it created a lot more interaction with the DOT because they didn't understand what we were really filing because of the way we were doing our budget. Is that what I heard?
Last year's was more due to we had a $3.5 million budget amendment, which is rare for us, and I think that just kind of raised our eyebrows, but it was necessary, mainly because we had built up a bunch of funds because of the road use tax, additional money.
Along with the fact that Grand Avenue was over right at the beginning of the fiscal year.
That was the main reason, because that huge.
That's huge.
Rarely do we do a local construction project that costs that much, and then it carried over, so that really inflated our budget.
Okay.
But beyond that, not only do I have to amend two different budgets, my budget and five-year program have to match as well. So then I'm going to have to go back and amend my five-year program, which is a little more involved. That's why I would prefer just budgeting. I know it inflates the budget, and I hate that too, and I don't know how we get around that. But I can get by doing the extra work. I just want to make sure with Lisa we can pay our contractors, because that can't happen.
Which just means an earlier amendment.
Yeah, sometimes right away
in
July.
I mean, right away. Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody giving me the time on this. It's helpful to understand.
And of course, let's take as much time as we need, because what is completely fair is this is not the way most counties do it. Right? This is a different system than almost every county uses. And so it's completely fair for this board. Right? You know what a previous board felt about this? This is the way it went. You came in last year, you and Marty came in last year, and you stayed the course. This board better be comfortable with how we're doing it and why we're doing it, or we need to go back to just kind of checking the box and saying,
And I'm not into checking the box anyway, and I do understand very clearly about we want to show what we're spending in each year. Hearing the concern and about what has happened here, I remember covering the county when there was a discussion about the mental health bills were held. Was it 60 days or 90 days? And talk about contractors sometimes need that money flow. Certainly mental health people need the money flow. I don't ever want to see that ever be in that position while I'm sitting here this year. Okay, so thank you. It helps me understand. I'm not advocating for change in how we're doing it. I am hearing the county engineer is having a more unique relationship with the
I do, and that kind of brings up another topic, same topic, but we also have the new process where we only budget 95% of our labor in there. And we've always, since that started, we've always had to amend the budget for something else anyway. So if we ever get to the point where we've got to amend just for labor, I think the DOT is going to have a problem with that too, because they're going to say that was not unforeseen. I have no problem going to the DOT and sitting down with. I didn't want to do it up till now because that kind of will draw a flag with them. But I'll sit down with them and say, is there any way? I don't want to get to the point where I submit something and they just all of a sudden they're not going to approve it, because then we're kind of. I don't know what we do at that point. Because I have to get DOT approval on.
Who is it, DOT, that you have to deal with?
It's local systems.
So Dostetter is in charge of. I'm not saying he's the guy you deal with, but
he's in the district. This is a specific office, local systems office that deals with these. So.
As we discussed in the general, when we next week discuss our philosophy, that maybe a little bit more just on commitments.
And quite frankly, amendments for everybody else are pretty easy. It's not as easy for amendments for secondary road system because he's got another layer.
Thank you, Darren. And I appreciate that hearing about these things as they more happen is something to help, I think, at legal court. I don't write the
number. Well, I think there was that first West Amendment last year. I was totally. I said we need to amend this because we don't have enough money in that area to do it because it's sitting in the fund balance. What you didn't hear at that point in time was my conversation with Darren when I said, I don't have enough money here, you're going to have to hold off on contractor payments. And he said, no,
we don't
want to do that.
Okay.
Luckily, in overall service area capital last year, or the current year we're in, we have $1.5 sitting there that we haven't spent in health. Okay, so that service area is what I'm looking at. That's where I'm looking at. And he's looking at his individual budget. So we have a couple different layers there. And those guys didn't hear that the contractors weren't going to get paid because that was an option.
Okay. And I don't know how to do that. But that's what we can discuss.
Well, what it means is that we, if we continue, with process, that we set this thing up, that we are going to amend the budget right away, starting the new fiscal year, pulling anything that we haven't done, especially secondary roads, but really everything, anything that any project that we didn't get completed in, so I'll use FY 18 and 19, we should go ahead and commit and plan that early in July, we're going to do a budget amendment where we're going to pull anything that was an 18 item that didn't get completed in 18 but is about to get completed in 19, pull it forward. I mean, the big deal was Grand Avenue, getting Grand Avenue. Well, we're not going to see a $3 million project again like that.
No.
And that's why, because I know we want to move forward here on secondary roads, okay, but that's why I do want to discuss it when we're discussing the gen overall, is a little bit that philosophy, okay, because I do have some thoughts on that about the budget amendment right after pulling forward, but I've taken care of what I think is applicable here, and then more just about
And it needs to be this board's philosophy.
Right.
And so I think it's completely appropriate. I think Monday is the right time for us to have that whole conversation.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you so much. Okay.
So moving forward with the totals, I do want to recheck this spreadsheet that there might be.
Yeah, just make sure. I just didn't like that my number wasn't lining up with your number.
So we'll check that, and then what do we propose we do with the first five then? Do we want to – what we did last year is we reduced those numbers greatly. We still kept the project in here, but we reduced the numbers. That allowed me not to amend my construction program. If they're there, but if we take the numbers completely out to zero, that means they're not there, so they're not going to be in the next year's program because they have to match.
I think as long as we're clear that anything asterisk had already been budgeted, then leave it in there and don't put the money in.
Right. You keep it in your plan with just like you have this page, and however you got to reflect that for DOT. We recognize that these projects are going to be carry-forward projects, right? We know it at this point.
maybe there's, I don't know, is there any of these that could potentially still get done in 18, or are these all going to carry over into 19 for sure?
But there's, more than likely, yeah, I think they're all going to carry
over. They're all going to carry over. So we know that that's what's going to happen. But then when you flip backwards a page, let's just don't reflect that money in the budget that we're putting for, because then it looks like we're taking that money from people in Story County twice.
Can you do that?
That's where we get. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes.
Yep.
I have to have a project in the year it gets let in my program.
Yep.
So 6 through 11.
I mean, does it have to be?
Well, I can't. The first five, I can't put the projects in next year's 5-year program and not have any money. That wouldn't make any sense to the DOT. So I have to have a number in there.
So how did you do it last year?
I just decreased the numbers down. Like, I mean, they were big numbers. So, you know, 1.6 million, I just decreased it to 100,000. So there's still a number on it. That was, it's going to be a little more difficult to do with these projects. I don't know if the DOT was okay with that, but they didn't notice because I had to amend for other things. So the amendment was done for other reasons. I'm just, yeah, concerned if we get down to the point where I just amend for this reason, the DOT is going to say, why? And I can try to have that discussion with them quickly here to see if there's a way.
So all of these projects that are starred, Darren, I can't understand the DOT. I'm trying to get my head around it. All five of these projects that are starred are in our 5-year program, showing as 18, showing dollars committed to them in 18, right? So DOT has approved this sheet that says, here's the 18 projects. And then we don't get it done, and what's their expectation is going to happen? So let's say you got a project that you're positive is going to happen in 18. It's not reflected on here. There's something that you guys are doing this spring. There's a bridge that you're replacing this spring, and you're positive you're going to get it done this spring, and so it's not in here, right? And we start going, and for whatever reason, screens up, I don't care what it is, for some reason you don't get it done in 18. It's not in your 5-year plan because you were positive you were going to get it done in 18.
Yep.
Now what happens?
You'd have to go in, amend your budget program, and explain what happened, what was the unforeseen reason. That's what concerns me, is that unforeseen reason.
Yeah. Well, but it has to be, by definition, it's unforeseen because you plugged all these into 18. And knowing you, you don't put something in the budget saying, oh, we're going to do it in 18, thinking that we're not going to get it. So there was something that you were not foreseeing that kept us from doing these five projects in 18. I mean, we know what the Sand Hill Trail issue is, right? But there's something for these other four that you thought, when we did our 5-year plan last year, that we were going to get it done. And for some, at that point, unforeseen reason, we're not going to get it done in 18.
Not so much unforeseen as it has to be in the year we let it, but I know it's most likely going to get built on the other side of July 1st. Mm-hmm. So that puts it in 2 years, and that's the way the DOT wants it.
Right, but we're letting with these, we're going to let, are we going to let any of these in 18 still? So Sand Hill Trail, you said, no, we're not going to let that now to November. And the reason, that's an unforeseen circumstance, we couldn't come to an agreement with the landowner for right-of-way. That's unforeseen. What about the other four? Are any of them getting let? And if not, why?
Yeah, all the starred ones are getting let in the next month or two here.
So they're in the plan, in the year they're getting let.
There's a very good chance, though, they're all going to get built in FY19.
Right, but that's, again, to me, that's unforeseen. We budgeted for them. We planned for them. We're letting for them. We're doing everything we said we were going to do. And then we get to July 1st, some arbitrary date, right? And it's not completed. We still got to be able to finish the project.
I don't disagree with you at all. I need to get it okay by the DOT because they're going to say, how long have you done this? You know that project's going to go over. So you can't tell me that was unforeseen is what they're going to tell me.
And my response to DOT is, you're asking counties, you're demanding counties to do a terrible job budgeting because you want to check a box somewhere. And like I say, I would be willing to go to the state auditor with this because I've had this conversation. This is so I understand DOT's got their budget and they've got their rules. We've got our budget.
Sure. Like I said, I can do that quickly. I'll go meet with them to see if there's a way we can get around this. I just don't want to get to that point where we get stuck.
I'm 100%. I'm that's amazed that it's a problem.
You give me him gray and me gray, and we can tell. But it was gray in July when there was not money in that service. There wasn't money in his budget to the area to get that those payments.
It was grand.
Sure.
Which is why I don't think we need to start a plan for that
if we're going to stay with this philosophy.
Let me quickly have that discussion, but having that discussion is also going to raise the flag with them. They're going to keep a close eye on it now. That's why I haven't done it to this point.
Don't you? I mean, this cannot just be a Story County issue.
Yeah.
No, most counties just budget twice, and it's hard to it makes a mess out of the budget.
Turn to their lease and say, this is what it is.
I'm saying, I'm telling you right now that been here 22 years. This is the hardest budget there is to, even all through the health years. This is the hardest budget to do and to understand. Because, you know, we have another layer of government that has to oversee it and tells you what to do. And most supervisors, rightly so, depend on their engineer to take care of making sure all those pieces work.
If I can get the DOT to okay this, I agree with you 100%.
Well, it's absolutely the right way to budget, but just because it's the right way doesn't mean it's the way we've got to budget. It frustrates me beyond any measure. Well, it's good. So it is every bad connotation that you tie to government is right here in this conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's hear what the conversation is. I appreciate that you recognize that from a budgetary point of view, this is the way to go.
Yeah.
Understand, Darren, and I think I speak for both Marty and Lawrence. We feel your pain, and I'm sorry for the pain. Let's have the conversation and see if we can do this appropriately. And if we can't do it, if we can't budget appropriately, then we'll budget however that we have got to budget.
Okay. Some
bagels, so that's got to drive somebody. Like, so I see Andrew as a guy who thinks common sense should rule the day. This conversation's got to drive a guy like you bananas.
This is nothing new to me. 17 years in the military and same thing.
Okay.
Okay, let me continue on with construction. I want to point out a couple more things. Number 11, the 340th, Rick, you'll like this one. We've had that issue with posted bridges down the Jasper County line, mm-hmm. So we looked at bumping one of our bridges up. But I had a discussion with Jasper last month, and they're going to really accelerate the one that's on the county line as 10 posts. I think that's the one that's really causing the problems.
Because okay. That's forcing people to come use the – so we got two other options. One of them has a sharp curve without the bridge, and the other one, the bridge is tough, but we got a drainage – issue that makes it hard to replace that bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're going to push it all the way up, and we got to pay for half of that, so that should happen fairly soon.
But they've got their own bridge crew, right? So they'll just correct. Come up and do it.
Correct.
We'll just write them a check for okay. $75.
Yep. And the other thing I'd point out is the right-of-way reserve down below. I have $70,000. That was more for 560th, which... it's kind of getting pushed back, for one, because Huxley can't do it that quick, and we kind of want to match their project. And two, this funding swap thing, we no longer can spend that money on 560th to pave that. So it may delay that, but it might push up something else like 13th Street. So I think we should probably leave it at $70,000, and we'll start going by them right away on 13th Street.
So there's three projects that we got in the pipeline. Three upgrades of gravel that we've got in the pipeline right now, right? So 560th was number one that I'm hearing. Huxley can do it. There's some new things going on the ground with development down there that probably makes sense to delay that one. And then the other two are 13th Street and University, both coming out of Ames. One going down to Kelly, University all the way down to the Kelly Blacktop, and and 13th Street all the way over to 600, or possibly all the way over to S14 if you jog south and go. So am I hearing that we think that 13th Street would be the next logical price? I notice now that it's farm to market, it frees up some dollars. Are you suggesting that that's the next logical project that would roll up?
More than likely. We'll get into that in the five-year program discussion, but we're probably not going to be able to do university as quick because that's going to be a lot more costly.
Okay.
And with these new borrow ahead rules, we're not going to be able to borrow ahead to do that one as quick. We'd probably get something done quicker with 13th.
So by moving it from 210 to 220th, that allowed us to ship one quicker to the other?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and just for my, the number I have in my head on a yearly farmer market return to us is like 925, is that about right?
Farm to market.
What do we take in a year?
That's up to.
Well, I'm not asking what the balance is. We take in how much a year?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at here. I think it's 1.25.
Yeah.
It got bumped up when we got the fuel tax increase. That fund bumped too.
All right, we'll have this conversation more when we get to the 5-year calendar.
I just think we should leave the right of way money there because we'll buy something.
Well, yeah, you're going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a place setter because
it doesn't matter necessarily where we commit to doing it, we're going to do something.
Right.
You're expanding.
But I want to walk away from this table with some kind of sneak preview of what we might hear in the 5-year calendar.
Okay.
What I'm kind of hearing is that maybe you're going to roll 13th to 20th up to a 2020 kind of deal.
That probably about the soonest we could do it.
Okay.
Yeah, buying right away. just the first 2 miles.
Yes,
well, the caveat here is the fact that with the right-of-way acquisition that City of Nevada did, they're part of this too. Because they've got that half mile on 220th. They've got...
And we come to learn they actually annexed both sides of the road. So I thought they had half, but they actually had both sides.
They have both. But probably time to start having a conversation with them about looking at building this into their...
And I would only hope that they're there for 1.5 mile to get the other 0.5 mile from
the north-south tracks.
Okay, I think that's all I wanted to point out on construction.
Okay.
That's kind of the number I'm at, the $2.5 million. I need to double-check that number, but that reduces our total budget by $600,000.
And there's no, so Laura's asked this question earlier, and I think rightly, is there any relatively easy project that we see coming down the pike that we can find a way to pull up in? I mean, the problem is we got the low-hanging fruit from our bridges. There aren't more easy ones. There's all the ones we got are going to be more planable. Is there anything else that you think you could dig into and we could find a way to get done in 19.
I'll look into that. I've really focused on this budget, and that 5-year program discussion is coming up in a month, so I'm really going to start hitting that hard next week, so I'll see if I can find something.
It'd be nice, as we do building projects, it's nothing to have building alternates. When you say, for whatever reason, why we have more dollars saved or whatnot, it'd just be nice if you come to the table and say, in lieu of, to just dovetailing on what Laura said, that, okay, here's what I see. And whether I would suggest that we do it or not, that's for you to decide what you say to us. But it would be nice to see all of this.
Yeah. When do we publish?
February.
All right. So between now and February 22nd, Darren, just take a look and see if we said you got to go find one more project, what's it going to be? What would it be?
Yep.
And what would that cost?
13th Street.
Listen,
if you find out what's your comfort level, 1.2, 1.3?
Yes. After reducing that $600,000, it's hard to come up with our end fund balance because what you were talking about, we got to, since we're budgeting money in 2 years, we have to spend things out. I come up with 22%, 1.7 then is what. About where I'm coming up.
I'm at 900,000.
You're at
900,000. You just gave me, but I have not seen your final reestimation for the projects that are in the 3.7 that you haven't
Because I had to subtract $1 million for those projects we budget in 2 years.
There's our money right there. Yeah. There we are.
So if you're at 900 and you're saying there's $1 million come back out, we're really at $1.9 million, and you say $1.7 million is where you're comfortable.
Right. Yeah, $1.75 million is what I have, and that's okay. 22.
And what percentage is that? What does that represent?
What does that represent?
Yeah, percentage, right? That's going to pull us back down into the...
And then what are you using?
That's what we leave in there.
Yeah, but that's going to pull us back down to the 30% range.
Answer your question. I'd like to be around 1.5. Really is what I. It's been inflated because of that 650 we've had in there, but I don't like going much less than 1.5.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. You guys don't. You need your drugs and taxes every month, so that helps you out. But I want to. I'm with you. 1.5 to 1.7 is where I feel most.
In a conversation we had.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I didn't step on it.
You need some
No, I need coffee.
What?
Coffee. Okay, Darren and I had a conversation one time in the discussions leading up to the moving of the farmer market down mile. And you had said that there was a little bit of consternation at the DOT in regards to having three parallel paved roads. Because now it is a farmer market, will it be that consternation go away?
It's not so much the DOT, it's the Farm Market Review Board, which is the counties, really. The DOT sits on it as well. It's the counties that have a board that sets the farm market system, and they just don't want to see... They try to make all the counties as equal as they can.
Right.
And they don't want to see you add a bunch up in certain areas. But it got approved, so they were okay with this one because of the way this one was...
I don't see it. I go through our farm market system. I think we've made the changes that we can make. I mean, I don't see a whole lot more. There was the possibility of moving the one in the same area, one to the east, to try to build a new road. That's not going to happen any kind of our voters. I don't see. Again, we've gone through and we kind of. Scrub the system to get our farm market where we needed it to be. Unless you guys see something that I'm not seeing, I don't see another move from us in the farm market system.
All right, just frankly shocked that 220 wasn't a farm market.
Yep.
It was used more.
I believe it's because of the county home.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's just because clearly you have more farm traffic on 220 than you do 210.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for us? Lisa, anything else we need to talk about? Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.